Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it's Chris.
Hello, everybody. What is up? And welcome to this week's episode of Chris vs. the People. I'm your host, Chris Clemens, and guess what? Y'all are the people. I am excited and somewhat scared for today's episode because we are talking all about horrific first dates. If you've been riding with Chris vs. the People for a minute, you know that we've heard some pretty big doozies, and if you haven't heard them, guess what? You have got some episodes to catch up on. Like, there's bad first dates, and then there's whatever stories people have for me. I do want to say hello to all of the new people who have subscribed to Chris vs. the People and are here after my episode with Joe Santagato. I can't even express to you how happy and exciting and just full of gratitude I am for everybody who loved the episode. I just love Joe, and I think he was like a perfect first guest. And it's just also really cool to reach a goal of yours, you know? Like, I've had getting guests on the podcast as a goal for so long, and to finally like get the studio, build this set, get someone on and put out the episode, and to see it be received with so much excitement. I really am so thankful and grateful for all of you here who make this show a possibility. If you haven't, be sure to subscribe to Chris vs. the People wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like video episodes, you can watch them on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@ChrisVSThePeople. You can just search Chris vs. the People on YouTube. I don't know why I keep giving y'all the weird URL, but you have all the info. I will say, in that episode with Joe, I like completely forgot how to record a podcast episode. Like, I forgot like my usual spiels and all of that. And I forgot to mention on the episode that we actually did an after show with Joe on the Patreon, as we do after every episode every week. It's patreon.com/Chris Clemens. The links for everything are in the description of this episode. I had some of our Patreon girls ask him some questions, which he was so chill and answered. And I had just such a good time with Joe. Love him down boots. But I think we're going to have another great episode with this one. So with that being said, we have our first caller. Hey, Kaylee, welcome to Chris vs. the People. What horrific first date story do you have for us?
So I just so happened to have a major stroke while on a first date. At 27 years old, I'm not like, you know, kicking it at 60.
No, you sound very vibrant and young. No shade to all the old people out there. But you had like an actual medically defined stroke, or like you had like me trying to talk sometimes on this podcast kind of stroke?
No, that's usually me, right? No. So it's called a spinal infarct. It's actually out of strokes. It's super, super rare. It's like 0.03% chance of having that type of stroke. And because it's like in the spinal cord instead of your brain, it's also considered a spinal cord injury.
Oh my God, I didn't even know that strokes took place in the brain. I thought that was like a full body thing. I'm learning that I really have no idea what the fuck a stroke is.
Yeah, so like a stroke is either a block or a bleed in your brain, like, you know, in the tiny little vessels in your brain. Mine didn't even make it to my brain. It stopped in like, I don't remember which specific parts of my spine, but like right at the base of my neck in my spinal cord.
Whoa. You?
Yeah.
Wait, so where did you were on a date? How long into the date did this occur?
Okay, so I'll just kind of start from the beginning. So I use dating apps, so met him on a dating app. We had been talking for like maybe a week. Finally, never met this man in person.
Was the conversation good? Like, he seemed normal and all that?
Over the phone, yes. He was nice enough, I guess. I'm like super for like, hey, like, let's meet in person and see how we vibe, rather than like, hey, let's text for 3 months.
No, totally. I could not agree more.
So we talked for like about a week, and then this was in July or June of 2023. So we met up at this like bar near a hotel type deal. And then we didn't even wind up getting dinner because we wound up meeting up kind of late. It was like a Sunday night.
Wait, your guys' first date was on a Sunday night?
Yeah, I have a really weird schedule. So like mama was just trying to make it work.
No, like get down with your bad self. I'm just like, whoa, I've never heard of a Sunday evening date. But okay, so you guys plan to get drinks at a bar nearby?
Yes. And I am not a big drinker. Huge stoner, always have been, always will be, but never really, I don't mess with alcohol. So, you know, I ordered a single cocktail, fit in, whatever. And let me tell you, this place was dead.
Well, yes, it's a Sunday evening.
Yeah, now that you say that, makes sense.
You're like, I couldn't believe it. The whole room was empty.
Yeah, just for us? Oh my gosh. So I ordered a single drink. He had a single drink. I think we ordered like an appetizer, but we were kind of like, yeah, I kind of had a late lunch anyway. I'm good. So we were talking the whole time. The conversation was okay, I guess. And nothing, you know, to stand out in my brain now. So we both go to the bathroom at the same time. And we were kind of like, oh, like maybe we're going to head out after this drink, right? Again, one small cocktail. And I don't drink, but I'm not that lightweight.
Wait, I have a question. Do you have like a medical history of strokes or like anything that causes strokes? Like, is this something that's like super out of the ordinary for you?
No. I mean, well, yes, it's super out of the ordinary. Yes. I mean, like I have like alopecia, like I'm bald and people always ask, like that has nothing to do with the stroke.
I was going to say, wait a goddamn minute. What does alopecia have to do with this? Okay, got it.
Everyone's like, oh my God, so you lost your hair because of the stroke? I'm like, other way around. Anyways.
Got it. So, wait, so alopecia is like what helped cause the stroke?
No.
Oh.
No false information here.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that seems a little crazy. I would love to know what kind of Grey's Anatomy research is behind that study.
Yeah, no, I would be spreading all the awareness.
Okay. There's nothing going into this that you're like, I'm about to have a health crisis or I could.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Like, I wasn't living my best life because there was a lot of other, I believe to my core, that basically the doctors couldn't prove why this happened. So I believe that it was just stress and trauma and my nervous system was just like, bitch, we're done. So that's what I believe.
That's a vibe.
Yeah, the doctors don't have any proof and can't really say. So I'm like, I'll just stick with, you know.
Okay. I didn't know if it was like I know that some chronic illnesses like strokes can be
right,
like a common thing, you know? So I didn't know if like going, okay, got it. So you guys go to the bathroom at the same time.
Yeah, and we both come out at the same time. So, you know, we kind of just like take our last sip of our drink and we're like, all right, like want to go smoke outside. So he had like a bowl. So we just get into his SUV, I guess, and we're smoking the bowl. And then, you know, I may or may not be that type of girl. Things started heating up in the car. We take it basically to the back seat. I'm naked in this man's back seat. I'm on top, doing a thing.
What kind of car are you bouncing on it in?
It was probably like a CRV, like a Honda.
Oh, okay.
Like a bigger Honda.
I needed to know if we were talking like a Chevy Suburban or like a fucking Fiat. Okay, we're like a mid-size CRV. Love it.
Yeah, later learned this man was broke and I should have known by the car.
CRV, cock riding vehicle.
Yeah, apparently. Just for a little more imagery for you, Chris.
Oh, God. You know what? That's so crazy, Kaylee, because I was like, I would love more imagery than you fucking doing the damn thing in the middle row of a CRV.
Yeah, so you got tiny little bald me, 5 foot, 100, I'm going to get myself like 130 pounds to be nice. And then this man was like definitely over 6 foot. Like he was probably like 6'6", I'm going to guess.
Work.
Yeah, so I'm like, are we even gonna sit in this car together? But we did. So in the back seat, riding my thing, and I start to feel like nauseous. Like when you're like, you know, having sex and then you're like, oh, maybe I had one too many. It started to feel like that. But again, I had like barely half of a cocktail.
Yeah, you like literally had one.
Yes, that's it. So I'm like, this is weird. Maybe it's just going straight to the head. Apparently the stroke was.
No, I think you went straight for the head.
You bet your ass I did. So I start feeling kind of weird. I start kind of seeing stars. I'm like, I've, you know, fainted a lot in the past. So I'm like, am I going to freaking pass out right now? So my vision starts to go out and everything kind of starts to get black. And like, it's really hard to explain. I couldn't see anything. Everything was dark, but there was like almost like fireworks, like little spots of light, like bursting in my eyeball, kind of.
Okay.
Not feeling wise, just visually.
And like mentally, you're still fully like cognizant and everything?
Yeah. Like I'm very, very lucid.
That, dude, the human body is so fucking scary. It's so scary.
You don't even want to know the shit that this did to me. So. So I get off and I'm like, I need a second. And he's like, okay, like, yeah, you all right? And I'm like, no, I can't see anything. And he's like, what? So he opens the car door and like, mind you, like we're still in like the back of this parking lot. So he opens the car door and I just throw up. Like I like didn't even feel sick. It just came out. And then my vision started to come back. Throw up, vision's back. I'm like, okay.
You're fully factory restarted.
Yeah, right, for sure. So I'm sitting there in the back seat and he's like standing outside of the car now, like kind of like readjusting his clothes. And I'm still freaking naked, dude.
I was going to say, are you still butt naked at this moment? And it turns out you are.
Yes, I am, in my birthday suit. He's like, are you like, do you need water? And I was like, yeah, that would probably be great. Could you like pass me my phone? It was like on the floor of the car. So he hands me my phone. He like sets it beside me and I go to grab my phone to like call or text my friend, be like, hey, I think this guy might kidnap me. Like, I didn't know what was happening. At this point in time, I'm just like, what is going on? So he hands me my phone next to me. I go to grab it. My hands aren't working. No finger movement, a little bit of wrist action. My hands are out of service.
Okay.
This is when I start to slightly panic because I'm like, is this what happens when you're roofied? So I start to get scared. And like, meanwhile, this guy's still being nice. Like he's not giving creep vibes at all. So I'm just like really confused.
Oh my God. You're not even thinking that you're having a stroke. You think you're getting fucking date raped.
At 27? Yeah, no. Stroke was the last thing on my goddamn list. So I'm like, okay, fuck. So I go to call my friend. Well, I ask him, I'm like, hey, can you like hold this up to my face, unlock it, calls my friend for me. I'm like, hey, so my hands aren't working.
You're having this guy text your friend being like, hey, I think this guy drugged me.
No, literally. So I can't text, right? So he calls him for me. He calls my best friend who I go to for everything. Like this person, ride or die. So I'm like, hey, like my hands aren't working and I just got sick. Like I only had maybe a little bit of a drink. Like I don't, what should I do? And he was like, bitch, go home and sleep it off. And I was like, I'll get back to you on that one.
You were like, that's not the answer I was hoping to hear from you. I am very disappointed.
No, not from him. So I was just like, okay. So that's when I realized I put the phone down, like it just falls. I'm like, because I could kind of like balance it in my hand. So I just, the phone falls. And that's when I go to sit up. Mind you, I'm still freaking naked. So I go to sit up and that's when I realize I can't move. Like I'm slumped. Like imagine like someone when they're like super drunk where I just completely slumped over, almost like a crackhead, right?
Yeah, it's like those anti-weed commercials in like the 90s and early 2000s where the people are like deflated on the couch.
Yeah, I'm from the Philly area. So this was like, I felt like I was just another person on the side of Philly. Like it was insane. So I'm just slumped over, basically. Like, I could keep my head up a bit, but that's when I realized my torso was also out of service. And then I'm like, how much further is this going to go? So I'm like, hey, could you help me, like, get my clothes on? And he's like, yeah, of course. Again, being very helpful, no shade to him at that point in time. So I realize my legs are not
working like they used to before. Sorry.
Dude, I was paralyzed. Full-blown paralyzed. I could move my arms up and down a bit, but other than that, torso gone. My neck strength was starting to go. My legs were not moving. My hands were not moving. Like, I was out. So I'm like, I think you're going to have to take me to the hospital. And he was like, okay. So he helps me, this man helps me, he dresses me, he like tries to put my bra on as best as he can, puts me back together, just kind of keeps me, he's like, you want to be in the front? I'm like, no, just keep me back here. So we looked it up, the closest hospital was like 5 minutes away. He drives me to the emergency room. We get there and he's like, so, and I'm like, you're going to have to take me in unless you go get somebody to bring me in. And he was like, okay. So he grabs a wheelchair. He picks up my limp ass body, puts me in the wheelchair and pushes me in. And then, you know, I look like, what's the really smart guy who's in a wheelchair? That's Stephen Hawking.
Oh, Stephen Hawking. I just found out he died.
R.I.P. Or no, wasn't he a pedo? Never mind.
I was going to say, I think he was on that island. And like, I don't think, I hope he just rests. You know, I don't hope there's any peace in that. You little freak. You little freak on wheels. So you're full Stephen Hawking mode after he airlifted you out of his CRV.
Yes. But the only thing was I was cognitively fine, like still completely lucid, didn't lose any like verbal. Like,
see, but that's like almost worse to me. I mean, like not really, but like that has got to be such a mind fuck to be. It's like when people describe sleep paralysis of like being awake, but you can't move any of your body. Like that to me seems like the biggest mind fuck.
Yes, it was. So this poor guy is wheeling me in. The woman, you know, it's kind of the middle. It's probably like 12 a.m. at this point, maybe. The front desk person's like, all right, you got to sign this, this, and this. And I'm looking at him like, you have to sign for me. My hands don't work. So he had to sign me in, sign all the paperwork for me. They bring me in, right? And at this time, like, mind you, I don't know if it's the ADHD or the autism, but like I do very well in medical emergencies. So I'm still chilling for the most part. Like I knew something was up, but you know, we're in the hospital now. I'm safe, even though he's there. So he stayed with me, which was, you know, sweet of him.
Are you still with this man by chance?
Absolutely not. Man child to a T.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, like, the bar is in hell. I'm like, but he did all of this one. No, that's just like being a human being with empathy.
You're telling me, you're preaching to the choir. Because he stayed in the hospital, even when they brought me in and everything, like back, he stayed. And that's when to me, I was like, there's no way this man roofied me. He would not have stayed. He probably would have chucked me on the curb and been like, later, bitch.
He wouldn't have brought you to the hospital if he was roofying you. You would have been, and I hate to say this, left in the parking lot.
No, in my vomit, for sure. So I was just like, okay, it can't be that. But again, that was kind of slightly freaking me out because I'm like, still like, what could it be? Like some neurovirus you hear about on YouTube, some shit? I don't know. So they wheel me back. They, you know, they take off my clothes again. They whatever. And these nurses, you know, mind you, they're my age. They look terrified.
That's never a good sign when the nurses are scared.
No, exactly. And like the type of person that I am, I'm in there cracking jokes. And the nurses are just like, can you get it together? I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? Like hysterically cry? Like that's not going to help. So, you know, they started doing tests and this and that, and he wound up staying, I think, and he had worked the next day. So he wound up staying, I think, until like maybe 2 a.m. when they took me back for some like MRIs and CAT scans. And then they were like, this is going to be a while. And I was like, listen, you've already done a lot for me. You can go.
So like, did you guys end up going on a second date?
Well, yes and no. So the severity of the stroke was pretty freaking bad. I wound up being paralyzed for quite some time. I was in, you know, some like hospital in the suburbs for I think about a week, maybe a little bit less, when then they figured it out and they're like, hey, yeah, it's actually a spinal infarct. And I'm like, cool, what's that? So then they transferred me down to Jefferson in Philly. And then I was in Jefferson for, I don't know, I want to say 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, because they just, for the love of them, could not figure out why this had happened.
Okay.
It was just like an anomaly. One fact I did learn that is, even though this specific type of stroke is super rare, it's common, it's more common, like I guess when it does happen, for 27-year-olds. So So for all the 27-year-olds out there listening,
here's a new fucking paranoia for you.
Yeah, add that one to the list.
Oh my God. So wait, what do you mean you like yes and no went on a second date?
So after Jefferson, I then went to inpatient rehab to learn how to walk and use my hands again.
Okay, like I'm going to ask you a question that's most likely off topic, but like still related.
Mm-hmm.
This, like when people have to relearn how to like walk and do like basic human like movement and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, does your brain remember how to do it? Like, were you like, I know that walking is like moving this foot in front of the other. Like, it's just a matter of like connecting your brain to your foot.
Yeah. And I would assume that's because I wasn't effective cognitively. Like for other stroke victims that it does, you know, affect their speech and, you know, how they just process things.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's a different story. For me specifically, because I was fine cognitively, yes, my brain was like, right foot, left foot, ho.
Okay, so it was like pretty easy to get it back.
No.
No.
So, like, the brain thinking about it and knowing, like, hey, like, riding a bike, right? Yes, that's all good. However, the signals from the brain to the muscles and the body, they were not there. So, like, my brain is like, right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot. And I'm standing there, like, looking like I'm having a seizure.
So, do people, like, again, this is getting so off topic, but, like, this to me is just, like, fat. Like, the human body is fucking crazy.
You're good.
So, like, is someone having to, like, move your legs forward while you're, like, okay, that's my left foot moving? Like, how do they, is it really just, like, that's how they reconnect it is just through, like, doing?
Yeah, physical therapy, it's like a lot of it's muscle memory, like when you regain, when and if you regain those muscles, you know?
Oh my God, this so is want, wild.
Yeah, it was like actually so insane. Like when you, and the rehab that I was in, you know, like I guess I was on the spinal cord level or whatever. So like, we're all in wheelchairs. You're not allowed, even if you do have function, like you're not allowed to walk, obviously fall risk, whatever. So like, you have to get what they have, which is called your license for your wheelchair. And like you're usually when you're escorted from like, you know, your room to therapy, you're escorted, like somebody's pushing you until you get your license.
Is it like the DMV where you get a picture?
No, they just like print out a little thing and like tape it to the back of your chair.
Oh, that's less fun. I was like, wait, are there like speed limits and shit? Like, are there traffic patterns?
Well, actually, yeah. And like me being 27 on the stroke floor, I was one of the youngest, I was one of the younger.
Well, no, you can say obviously. I kind of figured it was pretty obvious.
There was, I was 27 and there was a 22 and 25 year old there. So like, can't say I was the youngest, but amongst them. But like, if I had a dollar for every time an elderly in a chair was like, slow down, speed racer, when I finally got my wheelchair.
You, those hospital bills would have been paid off stat. Okay, so you said you like yes and no that you went on a second date. What does that mean?
I got to the rehab, right? And they were like, yeah, you're gonna be here for a minute, like move on in. So I was like, okay. So I get there and, you know, I had like devices that would help me use my phone. So I was able to text this guy and like call him like before bedtime at night and whatnot. And, you know, he would like check up on me and be like, how are you doing? He even snuck me in some edibles. So point for him.
Oh my God.
He came to visit me. So
wait.
So that's, I like, if you want to consider that a second date, like he would come, I would say like basically when I had free time between therapies. Like, he would come, and I'd be like, hey, like, I have lunch from, like, 12 to 1. And he'd be like, all right, like, see you then. And
oh, my God. Hearing men be acceptable is, like, I feel like I'm watching, like, a baby deer walk for the first time. I'm like, oh, my God, that's so cute. It's just him literally, like, feeling guilty that that happened on his watch. And now he's like, well, shit, I gotta go.
Yes and no, because, like, later I, like, you know, for the decency of it all, I was like, yeah, like, he should be a good guy, right? It wasn't until after I got out of rehab that I was like, oh, you're looking for a mommy. Like, I am recovering. The whole thing was just really weird because, like, when I got out of rehab, like, we were still kind of talking. And I have a child. He had two younger children. And he, like, he brought them over to my parents' house where I was, like, staying to obviously be, like, looked after. And, like, I was walking and, you know, I had most of my things back together, but like my hands, like even to this day, it's been, you know, 3-4 years. To this day, like my hands are not 100%. I don't have full function.
Yeah.
So mind you, like I'm still on all this medication to like keep me from like passing out when I stand up, and like blood thinners, but blood thickeners, like just stupid shit. So he comes over, and you know, this was summer. So I was like, oh, like we have a pool. Like if you want to bring your girls, that's fine. He brings his two little kiddos and basically like has me take fucking care of them. And like, I work in childcare, but I just had a major stroke and you want me to change your kid's diaper?
No.
Exactly. So that's why, like, he was great at first. And like, I give him all the points of like the whole medical aspect of him not being a douche.
And then he showed his true fucking colors.
Yeah, that's why I was like, hold on there, Chris.
Oh, mama mia. After everything you've been through, you're now being asked to shovel his kids' shit out of their ass? Like, no.
Like, with non-working hands.
Yeah, no. Oh.
Yeah, that's why I was like, you guys can leave, and I'm going to block you.
And I think that that is very understandable. Wow, what a fucking saga, Kaylee.
Yeah, it's so, so creepy. It's still like one of my, like I have, and this is what's so crazy. I listen to your podcast all day today. Like even when I was at work with children, I had like my one little earbud in and I just like couldn't get enough. So the fact that you called me this evening, I was like, how goddamn serendipitous is this?
I love that. Thank you so much for being such an avid listener. Genuinely so thankful.
I found you like a few months ago, and I don't do podcasts, but I do your podcast, my love.
Wait, stop. You found me through podcasting?
Well, like, so I saw a clip on Instagram, and then I was like, wait, is this on my streaming service? And you were. So I was like, hell yeah. And like, I hate podcasts. I can't, my ADHD does not allow it.
No. Oh my God. I feel so seen and validated right now. No, I like literally cannot do podcasts. Like even recording them sometimes I'm like, so can I go now?
Right. Like if I have to hear myself speak, I would lose my mind.
Well, oh my God. Thank you so much for being a listener and for sharing your horrific first date story.
Yeah, I have so many other crazy, like that's not even the craziest story I have, which is kind of sad now that I think about it.
That's wild for sure that you having a stroke on your first date isn't the craziest story you have. But I mean, hopefully we'll get you on another episode of Chris vs. the People in the future.
Oh, please. Yes, I'm here for it.
Kaylee, thank you so much. This was truly a roller coaster.
Also, one little PSA that I did want to say earlier. So they did say that that type of stroke, a spinal infarct, is common for 27-year-olds. It is also even more common for those who partake.
No. Just stop it.
I was just going to say nope. A specific drug.
No, just stop. Just stop. Okay, it's like the one fucking thing that I have. Just let me have it.
No, not weed. I told you I'm a stoner. No. I meant cocaína.
Oh my God. Okay, girl. Yeah, no, I feel fine about that. That I'm very fine not having in my life. Jesus, you almost gave me a heart attack. I was like,
no, I would never blame Mother Mary Jane for nothing.
Oh my God. I was like, well, there goes the fucking after show. I mean, what am I supposed to do there now?
No, I'm at the more bigger party.
Oh, okay. I have no problem staying away from the snow. Jesus Christ. With that fear in mind, I hope you have a great rest of your day and God bless.
You too. Thank you so much.
Bye. You think of all of the things that can go wrong on a first date, shitting yourself, peeing, like lipstick on your teeth. Having a stroke or a medical emergency like has literally never once crossed my mind as something I should be paranoid about for a first date. I mean, like, luckily, hopefully I will never go on another first date again. We'll talk about it on the after show. I never thought about the fact that, yeah, you could have a medical emergency on a first date. That's almost unfair. Like, I mean, it's unfair for a multitude of reasons, but like, especially it being the fucking first date. And especially in the middle of bouncing on it, that's crazy. And speaking of crazy, we have another caller. Now, before we carry on with the rest of today's episode, I'd like to thank today's sponsor. Now, the fastest growing businesses aren't doing more, they're delegating smarter. Upwork helps you bring in expert freelance help fast so you can delegate and keep moving. If you don't know, Upwork is a one-stop platform to find, hire, and pay expert freelancers across web and software development, data and analytics, marketing, business operations, and much more. It's amazing because Upwork helps grow your business by giving you fast access to specialized talent across over 125 categories so you can fill skill gaps, launch projects faster, and scale support up or down without committing to full-time headcount. You can browse profiles, review past work, and get help scoping the role so you can hire with confidence and get started quickly. And with Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours, which means no endless searching. Upwork also cuts down on operational hassle by handling things like contracts and payments in one place, which means you can actually spend more time running the business and not worrying about all of that. If you're not going to take it from me, take it from the thousands of growing businesses that already trust Upwork to hire flexible, high-quality freelance talent. For everyone from one-off projects to ongoing support, it's free to sign up and posting a job is easy. So go visit upwork.com/Clemens right now to post your job for free. That is upwork.com/Clemens to connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. Again, that's upwork.com/Clemens, upwork.com/Clemens. All right, we have a pretty juicy phone call next, so let's get back to it.
Hello.
Hi, Violet. Welcome to Chris vs. the People. What wild first date story are you bringing us today?
Okay, so this first date actually has not occurred yet. So I was propositioned by a man.
Wait, define propositioned.
Okay, so I feel like that makes it sound a little bad.
I was like, girl, blink twice if you need help and let me know your longitude and latitude. Like, what?
No. Okay, for some context, I work at a smoke shop. I work overnights at a smoke shop.
Are you guys open 24 hours?
We sure are. And if you come during the unforsaken times of midnight to 8 a.m., guess who you'll see? You'll see me.
Oh my God. Do people come during those times?
Yes, plenty of people. I sell lots of sexual toys.
Oh my God. You're like a Walmart super center. Woof.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, well, we also sell vapes and we have like little snacks and stuff too. So,
well, yeah, you're a smoke shop. I figured that came with it.
Well, yes. So this guy would come over during his break all the time. And let's just call him John. John would always come over and he would just sit and talk with me. Like, he would buy his little vape and then he would sit in the store and chit chat with me for a little bit afterwards, like on his break at like 2 a.m. Well, he's kind of like socially awkward, which I never like, I don't know. I try not to judge too much because sometimes, you know, I could be a lot, but it felt like a lot of the conversations, he was just kind of like standing there and I was talking at him, but he, like when there would be a lull in the conversation, it wouldn't be that he would just run to the door instantly and leave. He would just like loiter around.
Oh no, he was one of those people who like didn't know how to leave or like when to leave?
Yes, yes.
That is one of my greatest fears in life, is being one of those people that after I leave, people say, God, he just never knows when to leave. Like, that to me is like one of my absolute biggest fucking fears. Like, above being attacked by a shark, but above being fucking struck by lightning, it's like being the fucking clinger is, oh my God.
Yeah. And babe, I tell you, he was stage 5 clinger. It was bad. So he would come in all the time and we would chit chat, whatever. And he was a nice enough guy. He was a little socially awkward, whatever. But you know, I'm a gorgeous, stunning woman. So they all get a little awkward around me. So, you know, whatever. Well, he came in this one night and I could tell he just looked extra nervous. And so we're chit-chatting, whatever. The conversation had already come to a close a good couple times. I walked him out the door, he leaves, and then he turns around and comes back in, and he's like, you know what, I want to buy something else. And so he's buying something else, and it really looks like he's trying to hype himself up. And then he buys his little like can of Coke or whatever and goes to walk away, and he's like, I don't usually do this, but I just wanted to ask you, like, would you like be interested on going on a date? Like, if I could take you out, like, I would love to. And it, like, honestly, I also not particularly attracted to men at all, but I was like, oh, like, that's
no. Oh my God. I'm sitting here. Like, I just watched like a puppy open its eyes and look at me directly. Like, I'm like, oh. So this is the first date that hasn't happened yet?
Yes.
Also, he asked you out at like 2 a.m?
Yeah. Well, I'm at work.
No, I mean, like, I like when you put it like in the context of he asked me out while I was at work. Yeah, that sounds totally normal. The fact that he's shooting his shot at literal 2:30 a.m. is kind of crazy.
Yes.
Like, that bit of context is, like, wild. He didn't even be like, can I get your number so we can talk maybe while the sun is up or something?
Right. Never seen him during daylight hours. Ooh. For all I know, he's a fucking vampire. But anyways, I felt bad because it was just so sweet how he did it. And I feel also kind of like a dick being like, oh, this guy asked me out on a date. How cute. And, like, squishing his cheeks, you know? I feel like... asshole.
Okay, so that's what I just did metaphorically to this man, is I just squished his cheeks and said, oh, isn't that the cutest?
Yeah, pat him on his head a couple times.
Literally, I've done all of this during this.
Right, so I'm just like, you know, I'm not interested really in like a date, but we could definitely hang out and stuff. Like, and he was like, oh yeah, for sure. So we swap information, and then like a couple hours pass, and he texts me, and I screenshotted these text messages because I'm still kind of just blown away at this. So he sends me this first text a couple hours later, and he says, no hi, no nothing. Just like, he follow requests my account, I approve, and then I instantly get this message. Hey, do you want to go out shooting?
Wait, that's it? That's the fucking message?
That was the first message.
Hey, do you want to go shooting?
Yeah.
Like, not even like a how are you? Yo, you want to go shooting?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I think the male loneliness epidemic has reached an all-time high. I mean.
Right.
What? Like, bro, it's 5 a.m. You just requested me on Instagram. And now you're asking me if I want to go shooting? And the only times we have interacted are between the hours of midnight and 8 a.m. at my job.
Okay, thank you for this, because I felt like I was losing my mind.
No, like, that's like, you don't go like visiting during my like graveyard shift to want to shoot a gun. Like, bitch, bring me a cup of coffee. I'm exhausted. Bring me an eighth of weed now. Like, what are you literally talking about? Do you want to go shooting? Bro, the sun isn't up. Do I want to go shooting? No, I'd rather you just shoot me now and get it over with.
Oh my God. Right. So then I just respond, and I'm trying to be nice. Like, I don't know if he just read me wrong. Which
no, I find myself often on this show being like, oh no, be nice, give him a chance. It seems, why are we doing this? Like, bring back bullying and bring back shame. This would not be happening if both of those things stood equally today.
So I respond and I say, hey, I've never done that. Is that something that you do often? I know you don't know me, but if you did, it would be blatantly obvious that I'm not the type that would be into those sort of activities.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you don't want to hold a firearm. I get that.
No. And so I said, no, I've never gone. Do you? And he said, huh, I wouldn't have thought that about you. Excuse you?
You're like, so you think I'm a school shooter?
Exactly.
Great info. Wow, this person has the game of, like, go fish.
Right. So he was like, I wouldn't have thought that. You look like the type, I don't go super often, but I love going into the middle of nowhere and shooting stuff. It's a great way to let off steam.
Right. So this is in like the first 10 of your exchanges with this man on Instagram?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Excuse me? What? I love to go to the middle of nowhere and just shoot shit to blow off some steam? Bro, what if you just went to therapy? Like, what if you, like, literally just called a sweet woman named Cheryl and just talked to her?
She would have a lot to say.
Oh, my God. No, I have a lot to say. Cheryl can shut up and listen because that's her job. What? Oh, my God. Okay, so, wait. Are you considering going on this date?
Well, okay, so I...
Violet.
I told him, I was like, I don't know how down I'd be. And this is verbatim. I'm reading you the message. I don't know how down I'd be. That sounds kind of scary and only vaguely serial killer-esque. And so his response to that was, no problem. Okay, I'm reading this verbatim to you, Chris. I'm not adding anything else. I said, I don't know how down I'd be. That sounds very serial killer-esque. He responds, no problem and no worries. I pinky promise I would never point the gun at you. Laughy face.
I wouldn't have maybe thought that until you phrased it like that. Oh my God. I feel like such a player in this, like while you're telling me this, I feel like I have the most fucking game out of any man on earth. Like if this is what's happening out there.
Right.
I promise I won't point the gun at you. No, babe, that's the whole fear. You can't be giggling about it right now. Like that's exactly what I'm worried about. And you have made me feel, if anything, less safe.
Right. And I'm telling you all of that first. That is in the first screenshot. Like, that's all.
These are, like, literally the first messages exchanged.
Right. And I feel bad. I'm like, dude.
So where does it stand right now? When did this happen? When did he send you these messages?
This happened probably, like, a month ago.
And you haven't gone on the date?
Well, no. Well, I needed some opinions.
Girl, you do not need anybody's opinion. Girl, you don't need anybody's opinion for this. Like, this is a big fat fucking N-O.
Well, yes.
I can't afford to lose any of my listeners, okay? You have to stay alive, babe. The digital market and landscape is only getting harder.
Well, yeah. I looked it up on Reddit right after it happened, and I swear to God, I felt like I was losing my mind. These fucking crazy people on there were acting like it was totally normal.
Yeah, because, babe, you turned to Reddit. Like, no one on Reddit, respectfully, don't come for me or spread this all over Reddit. I don't care. Nobody on that website is mentally sound. I have, like, threads of people talking about me as if they know me. These people are crazy. This is like going to a prison to justify you murdering someone. Like, babe, no, everyone's going to be on your side.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen him since.
Well, okay, that's... Oh, do you still work at the same place?
No, well, he works very close. He works on an overnight shift as well, but he doesn't work at the smoke shop.
No, I understand that, but like you don't still work at the smoke shop, do you?
Oh, well, yes, I do.
Oh, honey, we got to find you a new job. Like he you need a full factory reset from this guy. Like this is concerning that you now know that this man likes to go into the middle of nowhere and shoot shit, and you both currently, the only thing you have in common is you work that graveyard shift.
Wait, don't tell me this is like concerning and not like actually funny, because I just kind of just thought it was funny.
I mean, like, it's funny because like, ha ha, he he, I don't know anybody in this story and I feel safe in my home as I talk to you right now. But like, girl, this is a little frightening, no? Are you not like,
oh
okay. I mean, you're the one who has met this person and has clearly texted him. Like, I'm just hearing what you've told me and provided to Chris versus the people. And like, I'm not a great decision maker, but like, sweetheart, run.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I wasn't entertaining it. I was just like, I more gave it to him because I kind of felt bad.
No, I mean, I definitely see the charity in it all, but like, oh, honey.
Well, I'm also confident I could take him in a fight if it comes down to it. But
in a fist fight or a gunfight?
Both, girl.
Well, honestly, then go for it. I'm like, come on, let's give Hamilton a sequel.
All right.
Have you guys talked since?
He came in one time since then, and it was very awkward. I didn't really, like, I don't know. He came in kind of acting like nothing had happened, and I didn't say anything about the messages.
I'm not going to lie. I think that might have been best case scenario. Like, I think out of all of the possibilities for, like, a follow-up in-person encounter with this person that you shared these messages with, that seems to me like the best miracle any of us could have gotten.
Yeah, probably.
Like, I could have seen him coming in to your store and place of employment and it going completely differently. So, like, I love that he acted like he... Like, maybe you low-key taught him shame. And you saved lives because of it.
Maybe.
You should just ask him if he's killed anyone.
You know what? To further the plot, I will.
Like, I think that's, like, a safe thing. Like, hey, been thinking about it? Talk to a specialist, me. And you should be like, so, have you ever killed someone? I don't know. I think if you're going to do anything as a follow-up for the plot, like, that's the one. Although,
right.
No, find a new job first and then ask that.
Okay.
Because I fear if the answer is no, then you might be the first. And we can't have that happening.
Yeah. I guess you're right.
Yeah, see, this feels like a story right out of my life. Like, this is what this is where people-pleasing gets you. Like, when will we stop doing this?
Ugh. And I thought I wasn't people-pleasing because I told him no to begin with. But anyway.
You thought you weren't people-pleasing and this you got to a point where he had the opportunity to ask you to go shooting in the middle of nowhere? Girl!
Well, when you say it like that, Chris.
Well, when you say it like that, you just did.
I tried my best.
And I'm not saying you didn't, but girl. Your life is on the line. Let's have some self-respect.
I guess.
Oh, honey. Oh, Violet. You're turning Violet because this man killed you. I'm concerned for you. Have you told your boss that this man comes in a lot?
No, but I will say when I mentioned it to one of my other coworkers, they brought it up that I should maybe mention it, but like...
Okay, that's... Okay, no. I don't care what explanation you're about to give of justification for not... You need to fucking bring this up. Because, like, if I'm not the only one saying you should bring this up to your boss, sweetheart, you should bring this up to your boss.
Yes, but I can't stress how not intimidated I am by this man. He's like half of me. In all senses of the word, Chris.
You know what?
I could take him.
Then God bless you. You know what? I think you should tell your boss, but if you want to treat him like the little pocket prince that he seems to be, then go for it.
I'll tell my boss. But Chris, I wanted to say I love your show so much and thank you for having me on.
Oh my God. Thank you for being on here. And girl, run. Like, get your fucking comfiest shoes on and run.
Fine. Okay.
This is what is fucked up about this show is that y'all will call in about the craziest shit and act like you are reading the weather forecast for the day. You're like, yeah, and he wants to kill me in the middle of nowhere, but, you know, I could take him probably. I'm like double him. Like, what are we talking about? Someone like offered the like a cuisine I didn't like for a first date. And I was like, yeah, I don't see this panning out unmatch.
You don't like, you're not like, I'm going to see this through. I want like just to have this story to tell.
No, I'm not going to be like, I'm going to see this through. And if I do think like, I'm going to see this through, it's because like I saw Angel Numbers or some Caucasian shit. Huh? Oh my God. Girl, please promise me that you'll be safe and smart.
Promise. Yeah, we're on the same page. Not doing nothing. I'll let my boss know.
Okay, thank you. And just be like, hey, I don't want to be a snitch, but like, I also don't want to be put in a ditch, you know? Like, I think there's a way to bring this up.
Yeah.
Wow, Violet. Okay. Please be safe out there, okay?
I'll do my best.
Oh my God. I mean, something tells me you're going to be absolutely fine just based off of the way that, like, you seem so confident of yourself. So, like, get down with your bad self. But girl, like, get down, because he might have a gun.
No, I appreciate it, because every once in a while I need someone to bring me back down to earth. So I appreciate it.
No, and I'm someone who's like that also. And like, I understand, like, I would not be saying this if I wasn't slightly concerned, Diva.
Okay, I'll keep it in mind.
Okay, thank you, Violet. I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you. I will, especially because I talk to you. Love you, sexy. Mwah.
Mwah. Bye. Guys, I need you to be so fucking for real with me right now. Huh? Huh? I mean, like, truly, I wasn't joking. Someone invites me to a cuisine I don't like, and I'm like, yeah, I don't see this working for us. To go shooting in the middle of nowhere to blow off steam and, quote, I promise I won't point the gun at you? Yeah, that's a permanent rain check for me. Anyways, we're going to keep this episode moving along. We have our last caller.
Hello.
Hi, Brittany. Welcome to Chris vs. the People. What crazy first date story are you bringing to us today?
Hey, Chris. Okay, so this happened back when I was in college. I had to be like 19 or 20 years old, and I worked at a restaurant, and there was this big party that one of the bartenders was throwing. So at this party, it was like, you know, typical college party, got really hammered, met a guy, made out all night, whatever.
Wait, you're working at this function, or it's like happening at the place of your employment, but you're off the clock?
No. It was like an after party. Like everybody that worked at the restaurant went back after work to this bartender's house.
Oh. Okay. I was like, wow, y'all got off of work to go back to work to party? That's crazy.
Oh my God. But, well, I mean, that's a story for another day.
Okay. I'm going to take your word for that one, Brittany.
Yeah, it was crazy. So this is just at like a regular house party that would occur in college.
Got it. With your coworkers.
With my coworkers. Yeah. So we're there, like, you know, beer pong, gang shit face, like the whole nine, regular college party.
Yeah.
So I'm like hooking up with that guy and...
The bartender?
No, his friend.
Oh, okay. The bartender's
friend at the bartender's party.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So he's like, do you want to go on a date? And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, I'm shit-faced. I have no right to make a character judgment at this point in the night. So whatever. So a few days later, he comes. He's like, we were texting, whatever. He comes and picks me up, rings my doorbell, and is holding flowers in his hand from my front yard, from my mom's garden. I'm like, okay, that's a choice, but whatever.
Wait, how did you...
Yeah.
How did you know they were from your front yard?
They were my mom's fucking tulips. Like, it was unmistakable. Like, I'm pretty sure there was, like, a dandelion in there. Like, it was very obviously picked flowers with, like, dirt on them.
Please tell me there was, like, a fucking ring camera or something.
No, this is back in, like, I don't know, 2009 or something.
Oh, see, like, 2009 is a time I would, without thought, go back to immediately. But, like, damn, sometimes I do fuck with the technology that we have in our hands right now. I would love to see the fucking footage of this man essentially gardening at your mom's house.
Yes, essentially gardening. Like, could you imagine? And it was like, I don't know, it was like a long driveway, and he was parked like at the end of it. So he very clearly made like a journey throughout this garden, was like, oh, I like this one. Like, what?
Oh my God. Wow. I have heard it all. I've never heard that. That's like a special breed of confidence right there, to be like, these are fresh flowers. They are so fresh. They are from your front yard. That's crazy. Okay, so he gets to the door and you see that he's holding flowers. Did you immediately clock like, oh, those are from the front garden?
Yeah, but I'm like, Chris, I'm like 19 or 20 years old. So I'm like, I mean, how high are your standards at that time? Not very high.
I guess, but like, at least pick them out of your own front yard, not mine. Like, I already got the flowers, babe. That's like that's like me taking off your shoes and then being like, babe, I got you a pair of shoes. No, those are mine. Those were mine.
Those are my shoes. Those are my flowers. Sir, please leave.
Okay, so you clocked it, but you were just like, okay, I'm 19, young, and fun.
Clocked it, but also, like, what do you, I don't know. At the time, like, 37-year-old me would have something to say, but, like, 20-year-old me did not. I was like, okay, thanks. So, whatever. I clocked that. Bring the flowers in the car and, like, put them in the cup holder, because what do you do with picked flowers? I was already, like, walking out my door, like he wasn't coming in. So whatever, we're in the car and we're driving and he's like, oh, I would love to take you to like this Mexican restaurant. It's like 20 or 30 minutes away. So I'm like, okay, whatever. Like not weird, but like whatever. So we're driving, we get there, we sit down and he orders a pitcher of sangria.
Oh, no, I've seen this film before. I was 20 with a pitcher of margaritas, with a pitcher of sangria. I've done a pitcher of everything at age 20, and I know exactly how the fuck this ends.
Yeah, so he does this pitcher. The waiter comes over and is like, very clearly, I do not look 21. And he's like, can I see your ID? Like, only me. This guy's also, like, keep in mind, he's like 25 or 26. Like, he's older, and, like, you can tell. So I was like, oh, I'm just drinking water. So the waiter looks at him and is like, you still want it, bro? He's like, yeah, yeah. So I'm looking at him like, what the fuck? Waiter walks away, grabs the pitcher, sets it down in front of him and grills me the entire time to make sure I do not take a sip.
The waiter is, or your date?
The waiter. Like, okay. He kept trying to give it to me and I'm like, I'm not going to get us kicked out of this. Like, it was like kind of a nice restaurant. Like, it was nice for my standards. At 19.
Yeah, you're like, I don't need to risk it over a thing of sangria, babe. Like,
I want some guac and chips. I'm good.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Right? So I'm like sipping my water. This guy, Chris, proceeds to get fucking schmammered.
Well,
ruined.
Yeah, it's him drinking a pitcher of sangria alone.
To the face, in which he ended it. Like, he completely killed it, like took the straw to the bottom. Like, I will never remember anything more vividly than that slurp.
Like, not
it was insane.
Not the slurp.
The fucking slurp. So we're like, so I'm like, okay, this is crazy. But again, like, my stupid 19-year-old self, I'm like, all right, what the fuck do I do? Because something I did not mention, he has a stick. I can't drive a stick. I'm like, how am I getting home? So we get in the car and I'm just like praying to the Lord God Jesus Christ, like, please don't die today. Please don't let today be the day. And that's like my method of getting home. Okay. So we're driving.
Wait, your method of getting home is a fucking prayer?
A fucking prayer.
Oh my God. If I wasn't talking to you on the phone right now, I would have bet on a different outcome. Wow.
And also keep in mind, like, I'm, like, 30 minutes away, like...
Oh, no, the 30-minute drive has, like, not left my brain. The second you said the date was 30 minutes away, I was like, ooh, my God.
Like, this is a trek.
That's an hour round trip.
Yes, we have a conversation there, we have a conversation back. So I'm like, okay, we're good, we're gonna be fine. I'm just, like, amping myself up that everything is going to be fine. So we're driving, he's just, like... Thank God, not crashing the car, but like, you know, belligerently drunk. And he looks at me and goes, I gotta pee. I'm like, okay. So I'm assuming that means we're pulling over into a Starbucks. No, it does not.
Oh my God, he pees in the seat?
No, almost as bad.
Oh.
We pull over into a parking lot. And like, also keep in mind, this is like summer and around, I don't know, like 7, 8 o'clock. So like, it's still light out.
Oh, I was gonna say this. The sun is like low-key still up.
Sun is, no, like, fully still up. Things are happening. People are around. So.
Oh, my God. Wait. He got this shit face before the sun was down?
With the sun up in the sky. Oof. Yes. Yes. This man had no shame. I did not comprehend how bad this was until, like, I thought about it as a full-blown adult.
And that makes two of us.
And I'm in good company. So, you know, I have to pee. I'm assuming we're pulling over into an establishment with a bathroom. No, we are not. We are pulling over into a parking lot where he pulls up next to, like, you know, in a parking lot where they have those dividers with, like, a single tree and a single bush?
Uh-huh.
Pulls up next to that, proceeds to pee on said bush, on said tree, with, like, his butt up to the car. where my window is. And I'm just sitting there staring out the front like, what is life right now?
And like, just to drive the point home, you are stone cold sober, correct?
Stone cold sober. Water lemon. Water lemon is what I am on.
Ooh, that is so heavy.
Yeah. So he pees. He gets back in as if, like, he just pumped gas. Like, this was a completely normal thing to do in broad daylight on a date in a parking lot. So, once again, I'm just, like, we're, like, halfway home. So, there's still a solid, like, 15, 20 minutes. Go back. He's, like, still belligerently talking to me. I'm just trying to, like, survive, get home, into my driveway. And he's like, oh, so this is great. Like, he was very clearly into it and very clearly thinking this was a very normal Saturday evening.
I mean, I don't even think we can call it evening yet. The sun is still up. This is like, I think, a late afternoon.
Yeah, no, it was like sun still up. Like, it was dinner, but like, was it, you know? So in my driveway, he tries to kiss me and I'm like, no, Mr. Peahands, no thank you. Like, bye, have a good day.
Peahands is the least of his problems right now. He just drove you shit-faced 30 minutes.
Shit-faced. So, you know, because me, I'm like, no thank you, have a good day. He proceeds to, like, text me, trying to hang out again as if this is fully normal. And I have to see this dude because the restaurant I work at, like, I was a waitress, and again, my friend who was friends with him was a bartender, so I would have to go to the bar to get drinks for my table, and he used to sit at the bar all the time. Like, now I know, like, he probably has a drinking problem, but he was there all the time. He's like, hey, what's going on? As if it was weird that I never spoke to him again.
So does he act like everything's, like, fine and normal now? Like, you guys are, like, chummy? Or is he, like, got a chip on his shoulder?
No, he's just kind of like, hey, what's up? Like, as if I just ghosted him and he's, like, trying to bring it back.
He's just drunk and happy. Good for him, I guess.
Drunk, happy, pee hands, and my mother's floral. So.
Wow. Do you think he was drunk when he picked you up?
I mean, Lord, I don't know. It was so long ago. I can't even. But I don't. I mean, I would hope not.
Well, same, but I also have never picked someone's flowers for them, you know? So, like, I'm just trying to get all the context here. This whole episode has been not a bummer, but, like, wow, I didn't realize that, like, first dates could get this bad.
Yeah, I have a bunch of those. Like, I went through a series of a shit ton of dates with people I should not have gone on in my early 20s, and, like, clearly I didn't have standards or the understanding of, like...
Well, okay, I will say, like, being 19, like, that is an era to not have standards for. Like, no one at 19, like, really has standards except, like, Mormon people, but, like, their standards are fucking questionable anyways. Like... like, you're 19. Like, you're not meant to have standards. Like, the thing is, you made it out alive, and that is the lesson.
And that is it. Jesus took the wheel that day.
Jesus took more than the wheel that day. And, like, you know what? Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for sharing this first date nightmare with us.
Oh, my God. Of course.
I'm glad that you survived to tell the tale.
Oh, dude, me too. I just want to say you are awesome. You, like, bring so much light to my weeks. Like, when I'm working and so bummed and so bored and I just listen to your podcast, it brings me joy.
That is really kind. And, like, I don't comprehend that, like, people, like, are like, this is so fun. And, like, this is amazing. Like, I'm just like, yeah, my brain does not connect that, but thank you. That is
shit, even when it's not, you know,
that really means a lot. And I'm very happy that I can provide that kind of comfort, so thank you for the kind words.
You definitely do, of course.
Well, Diva, I hope you have a good rest of your day. Please avoid a first date, maybe.
I will. I'm married now, we're good.
Oh, you're married. Oh, I love that for you. You know what? You deserve that.
We're good. Happy ending.
Happy ending. I hope you get one of those tonight.
Oh, that would be nice. But yeah.
You're like, and here's my husband. Tell him what you just told me. I'm crying.
What is life?
Thank you so much, Brittany. I hope you have a good rest of your day.
You too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Y'all, I really am shook. I said it earlier in the episode. Like, my biggest fears for a first date are, like, will I shit myself? Which is, like, pretty harrowing if you think about a first date. Someone driving you home drunk? Having someone inside of you as you're having a stroke? Someone wants to take you shooting in the middle of nowhere on the first date? Like, these are heights I didn't know were possible. Like, I was shooting for the ceiling. Y'all fucking shot for the stratosphere. And that, I think, is just fucking Willy Wonky, babe. Oh, my God. I'm glad that everybody in these stories, I mean, for the most part, are okay. I'm sure everybody's got, like, the things they're working through. But, oh, my God, if you're watching this episode on our YouTube channel, please comment down below your craziest first date story. And if we liked this episode, maybe we'll do more first dates from the people. And if you want to be on an episode of Chris vs. the People, you can fill out the Google form that we have in the description of every episode. And if you haven't subscribed to Chris vs. the People wherever you get your podcasts, what the hell are you doing, babe? Go and subscribe. Be sure to leave a nice little 5-star review for us. That helps us out immensely. And if I don't see you on the Chris vs. the People after show on Patreon after this, I will see you next week. Bye.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.